With your permission, Shmuel Aleph Perek Dalet.
Here's
the first one. ויהי דבר שמואל לכל ישראל. It means is that everybody knew about שמואל הנביא. ויצא ישראל לקראת פלישתים למלחמה. פלישתים were the enemies of עם ישראל at the time. And Israel, עם ישראל decided to go open a war against the Plishtim. The Machloket among the Rishonim, if they listen to Shmuel HaNavi, even though that at the time Eli was still alive, still Shmuel HaNavi, after he gave his prophecy in chapter 3, what Hashem said, everybody started to believe in Shmuel HaNavi. He was a young boy at the time. And the Malachim and Rishonim, if they asked him to go to make a war with the Plishtim, and Shmuel HaNavi said yes to do it, he said, even though that this war is going to be a tragedy to Am Yisrael, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it this way in order for Am Yisrael to lose the war, as he said. This is the Radak. About 900 years ago, he writes in his commentary. This explanation, where it says, Israel likras tishtim mamilchama, upon an order of Shmuel HaNavi, and this was like a trap, if we may say, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Am Yisrael should have gone to this war, even though they're not going to win the war. As the Chachamim disagree with the Radak, if it doesn't say this in the Navi, just the opposite. They went to the war without asking. They would ask, Shmuel HaNavi was to prevent the whole thing. But the Navi tells us they went to a war by Yetzir Yisrael Likrat Mishtim, chapter 4, sentence 1, with your permission, the Milchama, by Yachanu al Eben HaEzer, al Eben HaEzer, of Mishtim Chanu Be'afek. By Yachanu Mishtim Likrat Yisrael, the Plishtim started to fight against Am Yisrael, but Titosh HaMilchama started the war, but in Nagev Yisrael, if not Plishtim. Am Yisrael lost the battle by Yakub HaMaracha Batadek Rabat HaPimish. 4,000 people died. Ve'yavu HaMel HaMachane. The rest of the army went back to the center, to the camp. Muzik Ne Yisrael, Lama Negafanu Hashemim Hayom Tnei Pishtim. We tried to find out what's the reason we lost the war, we lost the battle. We can figure it out, but we have a very good idea. Nikha aleinu, let's take Mishilo, the Mishkan was in Shilo, et Aron Brit Asher. We're going to take the Echal with the Luchot inside. V'yavo v'kribenu v'yashinu v'kafu yibenu. The Luchot has a tremendous power. And that's what the Gemara said, usually when Am Yisrael went to a war, they took along the Luchot with the Aron, without the Aron. Here Am Yisrael, after the loss in the war, decided that they have a very good idea to win the war. They're going to take the Luchot, and while the Luchot will be among Am Yisrael, they're going to win the war. I don't know if you remember that, but when the army Tzva Hagana Yisrael captured Yerushalayim, at the time Rabbi Goren, I think he served as the chief rabbi of the army at the time, I think, if I remember correctly. But he decided that he is going straight to the Kotel. So he took right away a Torah, and he made it on a jeep, straight to the Kotel. And this is based on this Navi. The Navi says, if you have the Echal, if you have the Torah, you're always going to win. You cannot lose anything. Again, this is not based on this particular pasuk. This is based on Sefer Yehoshua, And it said by Yoshua, Yoshua took the Echal and went around Yericho. Chachamim say most of the wars that took place, the Echal, they are almost in front of Am Yisrael. And Luchot Yotzim Itam LaMelchama. Constantly Am Yisrael took the Torah when they went for war. And here, after they lost this war, the Kenim, the old people said, maybe we lost the war, but now we're going to win it. We're taking the Torah along with us, and if the Torah is among Am Yisrael, definitely we're going to win. Again, the same way that this happened to Yeshua Ben Nun, that Am Yisrael won the war, and they said that one of the reasons they won the war is because the Torah was among Am Yisrael. Veshlach Ha'am Shilo, the nation sent, the nation sent some people to Shiloh where the Mishkan was, ויצאו משם את ארון ברית השם קרובים לשבעה קרובים. It's also a question among the Chachamim, if they did ask permission from Eliyahu Kohen, it was at the time the Kohen HaGadol, or they just went inside, they took the Echal without permission. The question is if he knew, or maybe didn't even, simply maybe didn't even know, they took it. But anyway, that's what they did. They went and they sent somebody to bring the Echal, actually the Echal itself, with inside was the Luchot. The question among the Chachamim, what kind of Luchot they took along with them. Most of the Chachamim say that usually what they used to take for war was the Echal, a special box, and the box was the broken Luchot that Moshe Rabbeinu broke, the original first set of the Luchot that Moshe Rabbeinu broke. This is the set that he used to go to the war. The second set of Luchot that Moshe Rabbeinu engraved, and Moshe Rabbeinu made them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved on them, that always saved, even in time of Yeshua. Here, because they were so desperate to win the war, they decided they're going actually to take the real Luchot, not just the broken Luchot, according to Chachamim. Actually, they went and took this, again, the second set of the Luchot, and on that Luchot was written the Azeret HaNivro, the Ten Commandments. Misham, the Torah, the Navi says, Shnei Bnei Eli, at the time when they went to get the Echal from Shiloh, just a reminder, the two children of Eli, they used to be there at the at Mishkan Shiloh, in Maron Brit HaLokim, Hofni HaPinchas. Hofni HaPinchas were the Kohanim, and those are really the Kohanim that were responsible for the Echal. And what means is that when they went, the Navi doesn't say, but that's an explanation, when the people came and took the Echal, the two children of Eli, Hofni and Pinchas, came along with the Echal. They carried it. At the time, Kohanim used to carry it, not Levim. The Levim only carried in the desert. But later on, only the Kohanim carried the Echal, the Aaron, with the Luchot. Usually nobody carried it, but sometimes they carried it when they went to a war. Navi says that the two people that carried the Echal were the children of Eliyahu Kohen, Hofni and Pinchas. Right, right. Those are that's one of the problems there. This is a problem. That's what Navi emphasizes. Navi is going to say for another reason as well, but this is, sometimes he says, it's one of the problems. That those are the two people that are going to carry, of course, I don't know if it's not only those who carry their Echal, but they carry their Echal. Vayi kevo Aaron b'it Hashem el ha-machane, when the Echal came to the front, to the camp, vayariu kol Yisrael teruah gdolah, everybody either screamed or blew a shofar, v'tehom ha'aretz, it was a big noise. וישמעו פלישתים את כל התרועה, פלישתים heard the noise, ויאמרו, מה כל התרועה הגדולה הזאת במחנה העברים, what is this big noise, וידעו, they found out, they realized, I don't know how they knew it, but they realized themselves, כי ארון השם בא אל המחנה, that the Echal went and came all the way inside the camp, it means the Echal is in the front with the Torah. ויראו הפלישתים, the פלישתים got scared. This is the first time that we feel something like this. It was never like that. And so Chachamim explained that the reason is because this is the first time and maybe the only time that actually the Luchot themselves were carried out of the Mishkan, not just the broken pieces from the first set of the Luchot. Actually, the Luchot, the second Luchot, and they have tremendous power. And that tremendous power made such a big impression that even the Goyim realized that this is something very special. There was never, ever such a thing that they got so scared from it. Or, the third sentence, say to your permission, Mi atrim yada elokim adirim ha'ileh, who is going to save us from those God, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is so strong? Chamim said that the second part of this pasuk was said by different Pelishtim, that they just did not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they said the second part of the pasuk, Elehim ha'elokim, המקים את המצרים בכל מכה במדבר, it means like this, הקדוש ברוך הוא already used all his energy, he is out of energy, he has no strength anymore. The so-called was, there were two parties among the Plishtim. Part of the Plishtim were very scared and afraid from the noise, and they realized that the Aaron, the Echal, came to the camp, and part said, this is nothing, this is just a joke, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, lost his strength and we have nothing to be afraid of him. Itchazku, that they scream to each other, gets stronger. V'hiyula, Nashim, become people, man. Plishtim, Penya, Abdullah, Ibrahim, Kasher, Abdullahem. And if you're not going to win this war, you're going to be slaves to the ones who used to be slaves to you. V'itema, Nashim, become man. V'inuchamtev, you should fight it. ולחמו פלישתים וינגף ישראל, הפלישתים started to fight very strongly, עם ישראל lost the war again, וינוסו איש לעולב, they all went home, ותהיה המכה גדולה מאוד, they got very big hit, ויפול מישראל 30,000 רגלים. 30,000 people, soldiers, died in this attack. ואהרון אלוקים נלקח, not only they lost the war, the פלישתים were, they left, I don't know how it happened, but they left their house. They left the Echal in the middle of the battle on the field. The Echal with the Torah was left in the middle of the street. The Plishtim went and took it away. Doesn't say that they were killed, but they died. It's a question how they died, but the children of Eli died when this Echal was left or was taken away. Yeah, what is Benjamin Ma'aracha, a person, the Gemara said this was Shaul HaMelech, the Midrash says. And Shaul HaMelech heard, he was at the time at Shiloh, and he heard in Shiloh, I don't know how he heard, there's no information how he heard, but he heard he was not at the battle at the time. And he ran straight from the Mishkan, he heard that something's going to happen, or something happened already with the Luchot, he started to chase the people. He says, until finally he reached Mr. Goliath. This is the famous Goliath that is gonna fight with Am Yisrael later, and David is going to kill him. Goliath was able to take away the Luchot, and Shaul is chasing him. Ish Binyamin is a person from the tribe of Binyamin, this is Shaul, he is chasing after Goliath, and he was able to take back the Luchot. What it means, Machloket, if it means that he got back the box as well as the Luchot, or he left the box and just took back the Luchot. We'll see later, it's a big question, what did really happen. But this is according to Midrash, according to Chachamim, Shaul was able to overcome Goliath. Goliath was holding the Luchot, and Shaul was stronger than him, was able to go and capture it from him. Chachamim said this is one of the reasons later on that Shaul became the king, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu chose him to become the king. Again, there's no information about him, just that he was very holy and very, very pure Shaul HaMelech. We don't know why he was chosen. All the Chachamim asked questions. How is it that the first king that we had is from Shmuel Binyamin, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the kingdom belongs to Shevet Yehuda. When it's through Shevet Yehuda, and here is the person of Shevet Benjamin that won to become the king, the first king of Am Yisrael. One of the answers, some Chachamim say, is because that Kiddush Hashem, or that idea that Shaul was not afraid of this guy Goliath, even though Am Yisrael lost the war, and everybody ran home, he ran back from the back, and all the way from Shiloh is chasing Plishtim towards Plishtim, and he's running as Goliath, as a giant, holding the Luchot in his hand. He is going after Goliath, takes the Luchot, and runs back with the Luchot all the way back. Again, some Chachamim say that maybe it meant that he took as well as the Luchot, he took back the back to Echal. Some Chachamim said, no, he just took the Luchot, he left them in Echal. He could not carry the Echal as well. Some Chachamim said that he took back everything, and then he brought it back to Shiloh, and then eventually, there's no information, but later the Plishtim ran after him, and they got to Shiloh, and they took it away back to their places, the Echal and the Luchot. But this is not how you said this, you know, this is the power of Shaul HaMelech, that to save the Luchot, he was the only one that was worried about the Luchot. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu was a little bit upset, said the Chachamim. The Midrash says the Kadosh Baruch Hu was upset that nobody was worried and cared about the Luchot. They left the Luchot. As long as they were able to run away, he says, how did you run away back to the house, back to the tent, and left the Luchot in the center over there, in the middle of the wall? Again, to save the Mulao. Again, normally not is if in a normal situation, but if the Luchot were captured, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very upset, and God says that nobody is worried about the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really made and owned and was made for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was in the Mishkan, and all of Israel are not worried about it, they all went back home, and the Luchot are at the Plishtim. Nobody was trying even to chase the Plishtim to take it. Of course, they were afraid of Goliath, of course they lost the war, but the only person that was worried about the Luchot was Shaul. Chachamim say that this is one of the reasons that Shaul was chosen to become the first king, is because that he was the only one concerned and really to give his life to save the Luchot again, that war in the Mishkan were giving to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, we'll get to it later. What was the problem over there? Right. It's not so clear what Uzzah's sin was. Not so clear. I mean, it's clear, but it's not so clear. We'll get to it. But again, to save it, of course, you're allowed to run. But if it falls on the floor, that's something else. The Kadosh Baruch Hu was afraid, was upset that the Uzzah thinks he can hold the Torah. But if this is the Luchot, the Torah was captured, or the Echal was captured by a goy, of course that's the biggest mitzvah to redeem it, to take it back. That's the biggest embarrassment, that if we may say, we can learn later about Hashem how embarrassment it is, that the Plishtim said, so-called, the overcome HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this war, but they're able to take this Echal. It's a question if the Luchot were inside or not inside, just the Echal itself, the box itself. The Plishtim took the box itself and they put it next to a statue over there. And according to some Chachamim, put next to a statue to say that statue won HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a slave, Chas v'Shalom, to their statue. That's the next chapter. And Shaul understood it very much, and Shaul understood that he cannot let go of the Luchot, of course, just not because they're going to do it with it's a very holy thing to us. But again, he was very brave, and he ran, the Gemara said he ran 60 miles that day. All the way from Shiloh, all the way back to the spot where they had the battle, and they are running back with it too early. But he covered it. Hamim say he didn't hold it openly. He took a little garment or a cover or something. Hamim say he covered it. He was holding it in his hand. And that sentence sentence, where with your permission, Vayarot Ish Binyamin Mamaracha, that Shaul HaMelech is running back. Vayavo Shiloh Bayom Ahu, he came to Shiloh, Madav Kuruim, his clothing are torn, Vadamar Rosho, he put some earth on his head. This is to show that he mourns on the loss of the battle, a loss of life of those soldiers that died, as well that the Echal was lost. Even though that he was holding in his hand the Luchot, he was holding the Torah in his hand, still the box, the Echal, was captured by the Plishtim. Therefore he tore his clothing. Again, he was the only one that really tore his clothing and put earth, sand on his head to show how upset he is. The rest of Am Israel, there is no description if they mourn or they're upset, nothing. But he came back to Shiloh, again, according to some Chachamim, he was holding in his hand the Luchot that he took back from Goliath, but the Luchot are covered, nobody knows what he has under the cover. But Yavoi comes back to Shiloh, and the reason he comes back to Shiloh, because he has the Luchot in his hand. Some Chachamim said, no, he's going back to Shiloh just because he wants to give that information, the report he wants to give to Eli, was the Kohen Gadol. So Chachamim said, no, he has the Luchot in his hand, and he's going to bring it to the Mishkan. The Mishkan was in Shiloh at the time, was about 369 years, the Mishkan was in Shiloh, and he's going back to Shiloh. Then Eli Yoshev HaKise, Eli was sitting on his chair, Yachdech Metape, says he's, says we have to read it, Yachdech Metape, it says right next to the path, that he is watching to see what really did happen in the war. He heard, he didn't feel so good about this war, but he was not sitting inside the Mishkan. He was sitting towards the path to look, maybe some information will come. He was very scared on this hechal, on the box that they took away again from Kohen Chachamim without his permission. And this Shaul is coming back, he's coming back to the town, and everybody is screaming. Then Eli heard all this screaming in the city. I mean, this was the news that just spread that they lost the war. What is this noise? That man, this Shaul HaMelech, wasn't the king yet, but it's Shaul, and he runs, and he is going to tell Eli. Eli is 98 years old, but enough kamar yachol yorot, he cannot see so well. I am the one that just came back, I went back so fast. Again, the Gemara said it was a miracle that he was able to run so fast, and this is the zechut that he was able to capture the Luchot back from Goliath. And he's coming back, v'ani min ha-maracha nasi hayom, I am the one that ran away all the way from the war. And he's asking him, tell me the information, the report, what did happen in the front. Shaul tells him, first thing, Am Israel ran away from Plishtim. Also, a lot of people lost their life. Also, your two children died. Hofni Pinchas. The last thing he tells him, the Arona Elohim Yokacha, they were able to capture the box, the Echal. Again, it doesn't tell him anything about the Luchot. It doesn't tell him that he has the Luchot, that the Luchot are in his hand, according to some Chachamim. He tells him they took away the Echal, the box, the closet where the Luchot were inside.
Does that include the Kruvim?
That includes the Kruvim, yeah. This is a machloket as well. Some Chachamim said it was not this Echal or the spiritual Echal. It's a different Echal. The Gemara said it was two Echal. The machloket is among the Chachamim. Which Echal was it? If this was the Echal with the Kovim or just Echal from back, from wood, without the Kovim. But he wrote Ahon HaElokim when he mentioned that...
No, it's just
the Ahon HaElokim, it
says.
Sorry?
The
Sheva Kruvim, yeah. It doesn't say, the description of Hashem, it doesn't say. According to Gemara, according to Chachamim, that thing never went to a war, that Hechal. But again, this time it went, and they don't know if that Hechal of the Kribim went, and they just took the Luchot and put it in a special box. And that special box was the real box that was made for the broken set of the Luchot that used to go in front of them. And this time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they took the real Luchot, not. But the question is if they took also that Hechal as well. When Shaul mentioned that the Hechal, the box was captured by Pomar Kisachoranit, at that moment, Eli fell backwards. He did not have a back to his chair. He was sitting on a chair. The chair had no back. Like on a bench thing. He was sitting on a bench, like a chair without a back. And when he heard from Shaul HaMelech that the Hechal was captured, he fell backwards. He fell backwards. Be'ad Yad HaShah, next to the gate. But Yisharem HaPaktor, he broke his spine by Yamot. He died Kizaken HaYish VeChaved. He was... That's the question what it means, if he was too heavy, or he was very old and sick. And therefore, that thing that he fell backwards, it was such a big thing for him that he could not survive the thing, and because he was so old, 98 years old, and again, maybe he was too heavy, therefore his spine broke. And he died on the spot. That's a story. Once I heard, it's a guy, there's a big rabbi in Memphis, Tennessee, his name is Rabbi Grimblatt. He told me, Machshimam, the Arabs, when they came to Hebron, in Machshimam, 1929, and they killed, the massacre, in Hebron, they went and they killed people in Hebron, and they went to Yeshiva, and they killed the boys in Yeshiva. At the time, Rav Kook was the chief rabbi in Yerushalayim. In the whole Yerushalayim was only one telephone. And the telephone was in the hospital, it's called Bikur Cholim. And somebody from Hebron called up Rav Kook, and Rav Kook lived across the street from the hospital to Bikur Cholim. So they went to Rav Kook's house and they called Rav Kook and said, you have an emergency telephone call from Hebron. The telephone belonged to the hospital, so usually nobody called Rav Kook. Rav Kook ran to the hospital and somebody from Hebron was on the phone. And he told Rav Kook that the Arabs are killing people in Hebron. And Rav Kook asked him a lot of questions. And the last question Rav Kook asked him, did they kill boys in the yeshiva? So, when the guy answered, yes, they killed from the yeshiva, Rav Kook fainted, they couldn't wake him up. Couldn't wake him up, they took him to the hospital. So that guy said, it's exactly the same, I'm sorry? Yeah, I mean, they took him into the room, into one of the rooms. He was in the office, he wasn't in the room. So say, this is the same situation here, it says, this is very comparable to that story. When Shaul HaMelech came and told Eliyahu Kohen that Am Yisrael lost the battle, nothing happened. When he told Eliyahu Kohen that people died, the soldiers died, nothing happened. It says he was able to bear it, to take it. Then he told him, your two children died. Also he was able to take it. When he told him that the capture the Hechal, then he fell backwards and he died. This is Rav Kook, that guy said, that Rav Gilva told me, that Rav Kook, until he heard that the killing voice from the yeshiva means that the damaging the Torah, you know, the Rav Kook was able to bear it, to take it. When he heard that they do a massacre in the yeshiva itself, he couldn't take it and he fainted. Then Navi says, again, simple explanation, it means it's a story. You read the story. The story is, was a war, Am Yisrael was the war, Shaul HaMelech ran after Goliath, took the Luchot from Goliath, running back, he's holding the Luchot in his hand, But he doesn't show it to Eli according to some Chachamim, and he tells Eli, we lost the battle, people, soldiers died, your children died, the box, the hall, the cabinet, whatever you call it, was taken away. For that, he cannot take it. That's the explanation. He cannot take it. That's the explanation. This is bad news, what we call bad news, and the man is so-called like a heart attack. He got a heart attack. No, he didn't have a heart attack. He just fell backwards. He couldn't bear, he couldn't take the bad news. That's the explanation. Okay. So the story is being continued. As we thought the story is finished, no, the story is not finished. V'charato eshet Pinchas hara laledet. This is the last history, it's laledet maybe. It says his daughter-in-law, Eli's daughter-in-law, his son's wife, that the son was killed or died in the war, harat laledet. Arat lalat, arat laledet, she's ready to give birth. She's pregnant, she's expecting. But Ishma et Ashmua, she was in that city, it's called Shiloh. All the Kohanim, most of the Kohanim used to live in Shiloh. And her husband, of course, was the assistant of Eli HaKohen. And she heard, again, she heard Alilaka Haon Elohim. She heard that the Aaron, the Echal, was captured. Umet Chamiya v'Isha, then she heard also that her father-in-law died in the Mishkan, fell from his chair, Isha, and her husband died in the war. Therefore, Vatikha v'Telet k'nefu alea tzireya. It says that because of the pressure, she felt that she's having contraction, that she's going to give birth.
Labor.
She's going to labor. Is it contraction, you say? She's going to labor. Right. Thank you. Okay. Very nice. You all know the story. The story is that after the whole thing was finished, you will say, Leah, the Kohen HaGadol died. Now they're going to tell you that the Leah Kohen's daughter-in-law, she is pregnant, and when she heard the news, she's going to labor. Okay, very nice. Uchet Muta, that she's going to labor. At the time, you know, they didn't have the C-section yet, and they didn't know what to do with her. And all of a sudden, it's too early to give birth. Therefore, she's going to die. But the Daberna Nitzavot Alea, the ones that were standing next to her, Alteri Kiven Yaladet, it sounds like Rachel Imenu's tragedy. The midwife told Rachel Imenu June 4 when she gave birth to Binyamin. Here's something very similar. That she is going to have a baby, and the ones standing next to her, it's not the midwife, it doesn't say it's the midwife, not the Rachel Imenu, but the one who was standing next to her, maybe helpers or whatever, standing next to her says, don't worry, it's a boy, mazal tov. Ve'lo anta ve'lo shata liba. Etlis moach, etlis chok, I don't know what it means exactly. She's going to die, and tell her, don't worry, it's a boy. She heard that the home was taken, she heard that the father-in-law died, and her husband died, and now she's having a hard time giving birth, and she's going to die, and the one standing next to her says, don't worry, you got a baby boy. Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's his name, maybe. Maybe. Lo shata liba. I'm sorry. Lo anta lo shata liba. She doesn't pay attention to that. I mean, it's Navi. You have to understand. That was written by Ruach HaKodesh. It's not, it's a story. It's not a newspaper. The Navi, Shmuel Navi, wrote this by Ruach HaKodesh. He was not there, Shmuel Navi. He's writing it not because the press told him or he heard it. He says, the Ruach HaKodesh, I shouldn't write it. So it's a very important fact. Mr. Hashem told Shmuel Navi, write this story. Write the story after the kidnapping of the Echal and that Eli HaKohen is dead, Am Yisrael lo soruch, Chof Pinchas dead, she is having the baby and she's dying, and this is the conversation that takes place between her and the one standing next to her. They try to tell her, don't worry, and then she doesn't pay attention to it. Not only that, but it's rather now Ikavod. Tichavod. It says Enkavod. The name of the boy is Ichavod. The more to tell you, she calls him before the Brit, and a name, Kala Kavod Mi'Israel, the respect left, went into exile. It means El, on, upon, Hilaka Haona Elokim, El Chamiya Veisha. It says three things. The Aaron, the Echal, with the Luchot were captured, and her father-in-law and her husband dead. It means no more respect. He said, you call this boy no respect. But the explanation is, it means the respect upon Israel left. Doesn't mean really just HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because she says this is also not because of the Echal itself. This is also because of her father-in-law and her husband. So they call him, it's very important. What do you have to know? Then she corrects herself. It's not just because, it's not because of all the three things. It's not because mainly that the Chal was taken away. Okay? Again, it's a very tragically story. What did happen? But it's a really minor thing. I mean, it's nothing compared to the whole thing. Like you tell me, 30,000 soldiers died, and the Kohen HaGadol died, and the Kohen HaGadol's children died, and the Chal was taken, and all of Israel are back in the houses. Now the Navi tell you also, let me tell you something. But the daughter of the Kohen HaGadol gave birth, and in the hospital, she was in the hospital, she said she named the baby Ikavod. That's important to know. That's what you have to know in the Navi, that she had to give birth ahead of time, she went into labor, and she called the baby Kavod. Who cares about it, what it doesn't make? I mean, it means nothing. It really doesn't mean anything. So we have to know it, and who cares about that story? And again, this is nothing compared to the real tragedy, like you say, after the Holocaust, 6 million people died, somebody had a baby boy, and she called him Kavod. It's meaningless. After people went to Auschwitz, into all these concentration camps, and you can say, also a lady had a baby and she died when she gave birth, and she called the baby Ikavod. There's no respect for Israel because the Germans in Machshimam killed 6 million Jews. The story makes the whole thing cheap. There's nothing that you get from it. It's just the first sentence we get permission from the next chapter of Plishin Makru et Aron HaElokim Veviyu Meret Meven Ha'ezer Ashdoda. Like you said before, like Moshe said before, I mean, it's not so simple. It's not so simple to touch it. I mean, the Gemara, the Torah says, the Gemara explains what the Torah says, Vavo Lirot Kevalat HaKodesh Vametu. The Torah says that the Levim were not allowed to look at the Echal. We see later that Am Yisrael were punished. Big punishment because they stared at, they looked at the Echal. You cannot look at the Echal. It's a big sin. When Am Yisrael went into the desert and they had to go from one spot to the next spot, they had to cover the Echal, they had to cover, to put a blue cover on it. And then Moshe and Aaron had to do it. And then the Levim were able to come and take it. The Levim were not allowed to look at the Echal and stare at it. Forget about touching it. You cannot touch it if you just want to touch it. But this is not only not allowed to touch it, you're not allowed to stare, you're not allowed to look at it. Kevala et HaKodesh, it's Pasuk. Kevala et HaKodesh Vametu. If you look at it, you die.
Why
is
blue cover a special
priest? That's the Torah says, Beget Chelet. The Torah says Beget Chelet. Chelet is like Shamayim, I don't know, it doesn't say why. I mean, Dari explains why. The Torah doesn't say what. Which one? Yeah, that's Kisah Kamud. Yeah, same one, yeah.
Okay,
I just want to say, before you ask, forgive me, I just want to finish my sentence. Then you ask me a question. So now here it says that Plishtim were able to take it, to touch it. I mean, you cannot even look at it. So you'll be able to see that the Jewish people died from it. So if the Gemara says that the Plishtim eventually is going to return it, the Echal is going to come back on a wagon. And if they come back on a wagon, the people are going to stare at it. And the people are going to look at it, they're going to die. 60,000 people died. 50,000 people died because some people looked at it. And again, it's based on the pasuk in the Chumash, Kevalayet HaKodesh V'metu, it says, you may not look at the Echal. Forget about touching it. You cannot look at it. They had to cover it with a special cover, and after the Echal was covered, then they called it the Levim, and said, now you may carry 42 staffs. It's not 42 staffs, because they didn't have in the first few staffs, they didn't have the Echal, but after they built the Mishkan, for 38 years, the Mishkan was carried in the desert. Nobody was allowed to look at the Echad. You cannot look at the Echad. And here the Navi is going to tell you that the Plishtim, after the war, capture the Echad. Again, it's machloket if the Luchot were inside, but it's really irrelevant. You're not allowed to look at the Echad. Again, some Chachamim say that this is the explanation that later Am Israel had an epidemic and 50,000 people died. One of the reasons is because they looked at the Echad. Here the Plishtim come and they take it, it's like they own it. They take the Echad, they carry it, they bring it to Ashdod. They're going to put it on the street in Ashdod, and everybody's going to look at it. It says, they're going to get punished. But they're going to get punished because of a reason. The Navi is going to tell you, they made fun of it. They put it next to the Avodah Zarah, and they said that this the Echad is a slave to their Avodah Zarah. So everybody is going to punish them. But if they would not have done it, maybe they would not have got punished. The Navi said they got punished because they made a joke out of it. Otherwise, they just can have so-called authority and the power to hold it. How can you have a power to hold such a thing and look at it and touch it, nothing happened to you, and a Jew that just looks at it, he can, chas v'shalom, can get punished.
Why did all the 50,000 die? If those who look, right, I understand it, but the other people right. Who were able to conquer their...
The other ones were not there at the scene. It's not the other 50,000 people that were there and they closed their eyes. The 50,000 people among them Israel had an epidemic. 50,000 funerals did happen. This is because some people in the front on Shebet Shemesh, this is the place that the wagon came back. And they looked at it, some Chachamim was saying, this is why 50,000 people died. What did you want to say about Shaul?
If Shaul had taken the report already.
Right.
Maybe.
But you see later again that even though the Shaul took the Luchot, and Shebet Shemesh were not allowed to look at it, even though it was not inside. So obviously it has some quite holiness, the box itself. It's called Tashmishik Dosha, it's a very holy thing. Even the Luchot are not inside there, it's like Tfilin. The Tfilin called Tashmishik Dosha, even though you take the parashiyot, the parchment from inside. But then tefillin has some holiness, you cannot just throw it in the garbage. That's called Tashmishik Dusha. That's the things that did serve holy things, they become very holy. Although we see from this halacha, usually the Gemara says, Bao Pritzim Bechelelua. Halacha is all the dishes, for example, they have in the Vatican downstairs, they have no holiness in them. They have some kind of holiness, but not the real holiness. It's based on the Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Bao Pritzim Bechilelua. When a goy comes, and he takes away things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he touches it, or even, according to Chachamim, a second before he touches it, the holiness evaporates, goes away from it. Therefore, today, if you go to the Vatican, and you see in the Vatican, they have dishes from Beit HaMikdash, you have to touch it. Even though that we are called Tmei Metim, we not consider pure because we do not have ashes of the red cow. If you would have ashes of the red cow, you have to touch it. Just because we do not have ashes of the red cow, we are considered Tmeim, we not consider pure enough to touch holy things. But those are the things that were not touched by the Goyim. It's Halacha. It's called Bau Pritzim. I think Gemara Avodah Zarah page 54. The Ramban in his commentary goes even further. He says even Beit HaMikdash itself loses, if we may say, his holiness when the Goyim came and captured Beit HaMikdash. So the Ramban says the Ivanim, when they came to Beit HaMikdash, they not only took away the holiness from the dishes of Beit HaMikdash, also the Beit HaMikdash itself lost his, we can say, the level of holiness. Of course, had some holiness, but not the real holiness that we have to be careful not to go inside. For example, if you're not pure, let's say a person that touched a dead person is not allowed to come to Beit HaMikdash. Somebody touched a dead rat, a dead mouse, not allowed to go to Beit HaMikdash. This applies only when Beit HaMikdash has holiness. Or if Beit HaMikdash has no holiness, you may come inside. According to the Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, again, in the Gemara Masechet Zarai, he said, when the Greeks, when the Yevanim entered Beit HaMikdash, not only when they captured the dishes of Beit HaMikdash, the holiness of the dishes went away, also the Kedusha, the holiness of Beit HaMikdash itself ran away. Yeah, any.
Here's the debate about where you can go in
the Harabayah. Because it's a very good question. What's the debate? The question is that even though the holiness of Beit HaMikdash went away, the question is how far it went and what was left. According to some Chachamim, really it went away completely. The Machloket, Rambam, Ravad, Machloket. That's the Ramban's idea. The Ramban says that the holiness of Beit HaMikdash vaporized completely. It's a question if the Ramban thinks that everything is permitted now to be over there because the holiness vaporized. If we say the holiness went back to Shamayim, the Shekhinah went back to Shamayim, it means everything is empty right now. The Ramban doesn't agree. It's a machloket among the Chachamim. But definitely the dishes of Beit HaMikdash, definitely the Gemara says, again, based on the Pasuk, Ba'u Pritzim V'Chilulua, the holiness left. Over here, we see even though the Plishtim captured, if we may say, the Echal, the box, still has some holiness, because according to the Chachamim, the Jewish people were not allowed to look at it later on. Obviously, the holiness is still there. Otherwise, what do you mean I cannot look at it if I'm allowed to touch it, even a person that's not pure allowed to touch it? Because, again, it's based on the Gemara that all the dishes lose the holiness by being captured by a goy.
What dishes?
I don't know. It means the menorah, the mizbeach, all the kelim, all the forks, everything. Yeah. Everything, what he just took away from Beit HaMikdash, but they have in the Vatican downstairs, they have no holiness. Have some holiness, again, if I may say, more feeling than holiness, or more proof to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we care about it. But, for example, if tomorrow morning they have Beit HaMikdash, you cannot take those dishes just like that and bring it into Beit HaMikdash. You have to do something in order. Mikveh is one thing. But besides being pure, you have to prepare it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for this, right, they have to put the oil again on them. Sometimes some are going to have units won't even help. Because if it went out, it might not come back as holy as it was. So machloket among Rahamim, what to do with such a dish if you can have it, if you can serve it the same way it was served before. It's a question. Certain dishes, yeah, maybe certain dishes not. And here we see that even though the Plishtim captured the Echal, and not only they captured it, they made fun of it, they put it next to the Avodah Zarah, still has some holiness, not only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu only going to punish the Plishtim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to punish Am Yisrael because they looked at it. Obviously, has some holiness in it, even though it was captured.
What happened to that pasuk?
Right. That's the question. What happened to the pasuk? Now, having said it, applies to other dishes, doesn't apply to the echal, with the Torah. The Torah doesn't get too much. The Gemara says, the great Torah will come in too much, maybe. I don't know. It's a question. The question is, what is the story, really? What's the story over here? What is the purpose when we wrote this story? First, about this war, and this the whole story about Eliyahu HaKohen, and then that she's giving birth, and she's calling the boy Ikavot. Also the power of Shaul HaMelech. The power of Shaul HaMelech, as some Chachamim say, his power is because he is the one that went and ran and saved the Luchot. Again, the explanation is that he ran to save the Luchot. What it means is that it's not nice. It's not respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Goyim, the Pishtim, capture all of them. If you remember, Ari says, remember I mentioned a few times already that, if we may say it in a nice way, the blame for this war, the blame for the heart to be captured, and the blame for Hofnim Bimcha's death is... How much you who do you want to blame for this?
No. Well, Ellie...
No. Who are you blaming for the whole thing? There's one person, if I may say, it's a nice way to blame. Again, it's a machloket, if Shmuel gave advice, or they went without advice of Shmuel. Again, even if Shmuel gave advice, the simple explanation is because Am Yisrael did not behave. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu did it in a way that really doesn't make sense to us. Kadosh Baruch Hu will not just put the Navi, Shmuel Navi, in such a situation to tell Am Yisrael go to a war, and then they're going to lose the war, and this is to punish Am Yisrael. Maybe yes, I don't say Kadosh Baruch Hu can do anything he wants, but to say that this is really what Hashem had in mind. But the Gemara says like this, because Avraham Avinu made a treaty with Avimelech of Pishtim and gave him 7 sheep. 7 tzaddikim will die. The first one is Shimshon, the second and third is Hofni and Pinchas, and Shaul and his 3 children, altogether 7. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Abraham, who gave you permission to make a treaty with Avimelech. The second thing says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the 7, let me say, that Mikdash Mishkan will be destroyed. The first Mishkan, second, third, fourth, fifth, and the 2 Bet HaMikdash are going to be destroyed because again, number 7, the 7 sheep that Abraham Avinu gave to Avimelech. And this is, he says, that's what the Midrash really means, that this is, of course, we read it, the Torah, that it's the way it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has its own way in what he does, and the reason for all this tragedy, that people dying, and right here, at the end of this war, the Mishkan Shiloh is going to be destroyed, and they're going to move it to Nov, and then Nov is going to be destroyed, and they're going to move it to Givon, and then Givon is going to be destroyed. This is all because of that treaty. If we may say that Abraham Avinu says the Midrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with Abraham Avinu, who are you to make a treaty with this Yasser Arafat? Don't you can trust him? And it shows Chas V'Shalom that Abraham Avinu did not rely on the Midrash says on HaKadosh Baruch Hu 100%. And the whole story over here, that's what the Midrash says, is, if we may say, a continuation of that tragedy. The Pishtim are able to kill Hofni Pinchas. Of course, the story is that Hofni Pinchas did not behave, but this is not what the Navi wants to tell you. Hofni Pinchas are big tzaddikim, says the Midrash. Of course, they did something that Hashem did not like so much, but it doesn't make them reshaim. But of course, Hashem was upset with them. But the reason why they're going to die now in this chapter, in the middle of the war, is not just because they did not behave, this is because the Gezerah, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was upset that Abraham Avinu gave the 7 sheep to Avimelech. And those 2 children are part of those 7 tzaddikim, they're going to die because of that act. In that act, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said also, not only 7 tzaddikim will die, the Mishkan Shiloh is going to be destroyed. Right. Again, the way the Navi says, the one big tzaddikim, right? But again, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the Natsadikim, it doesn't mean the one Tzadikim. The way the Midrash put it, if the Rashaim, it's not a big deal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Hofni Pinchas to die. But they are considered part of the 7. And the 7, the Midrash says, is Shaul and his 3 children that went to Gan Eden next to Shmuel HaNavi. Again, the Midrash considers Shimshon, even though that we learned some things that we did not understand so good about him, that we did not think that he is the biggest tzaddik. Nevertheless, if he would not be tzaddik, of course, would not be a punishment. Again, you have to compare that punishment to the punishment of destruction of 7 Mishkan, of 7 Batei Mikdash. must be that those seven people are very high. Right. Again. You have a very good question on Moshe, but again, the Midrash considers Rav Nir ben Pinchas part of that group, that has considerable, very high level, important people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to take them away because of Abraham's treaty with Abimelech. So again, that story is not just a story that Eliyahu Kohen heard that the Hechal was taken. Hechal was taken, of course Eliyahu Kohen is worried about it, is upset about it, of course, it's a tragedy. But it's more than a tragedy. This is the first Mishkan that really is going, actually being destroyed by the Goyim, by the Plishtim, and this is the sign. And this is a significant thing that is going to be destroyed because, again, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking away the Shekhinah away. So this is a part of a big destruction. That destruction is going back to Abraham Avinu. That does it mean this destruction is coming. So after this destruction, Eliyahu Kohen knows it's going to be the next destruction is Nov, and then Givon, and then Pezulim, Gassim, and Mirash. Again, this is a continuation of that first treaty of Abraham Avinu. And this is what he said. Shaul HaMelech is coming back and he says it's just not news. This is the news. He says we lost the battle, Rav Nir ben Pinchas are dead, 30,000 soldiers died, and the Hechal was taken. Of course it's a tragedy, but the tragedy is not a tragedy. This, all those pieces of the information is to show you that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is fulfilling the old Gezerah that he was obsessed with Abraham Avinu. That is from Abraham Avinu. Abraham Avinu, seven Tzadikim will die, Rav Nir ben Pinchas. Now, he said to Abraham Avinu also, the Mishkan is going to be destroyed. Here it is, it's coming, and it says the Gezerah is here. Therefore, Eliyahu Kohen fell backwards and died. Not just because just the Hechal was taken. And this is what really the Navi is going to tell you, that the Plishtim, they have a tremendous power. They can hold down to their Hechal, they look at their Hechal, they keep their Hechal, nothing happened to them. Because this is part of the Gezerah of Abraham Avinu. It's not because they were able to capture it. This is because Abraham Avinu made a treaty with them, that's the power that they have. This Titus can come to Beit HaMikdash and take all the dishes and go inside Kodesh HaKodeshim and take it away. Rav Chachamim said, how is it possible? How is it possible? Kohen HaGadol, if he comes to Kodesh HaKodeshim, if he has one little thought that doesn't really pure enough or supposed to be in there, they drop dead. And here Titus comes to Beit HaMikdash and he walks around and he does a scene over there and he takes all the dishes, put him in the parochet, take everything, put it on the boat, bring it to Rome. Again, says Ari, it's of course, it's a few other answers, but all of the answers is, this was the Gezerah from Tav Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is that Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed by a goy, is going to take everything. And that's what Eliyahu Kohen saw. Eliyahu Kohen saw that Rav Nir ben Pinchas are the two, we may say the two first of the new group, and Shimshon was killed already. Now there's no one. And now it's not just a new one, it's the Mishkan is going to be destroyed. Shiloh is going to be destroyed. Now it's going to be destroyed. They take the Luchot, they take the Echal. So this is what the Gezerah means, that because the treaty of Abraham Avinu, you know, treaty with them, look how powerful they are. They can take, they can touch the Echal. At least if they just win the war, but they can touch the Echal, they can take the Echal, nothing happened to them. They look at the Echal, nothing can happen to them. So that's really the power of Shaul HaMelech. Besides, of course, Shaul HaMelech, the Zari, is just, you know, he's worried about the Luchot. He's trying to get it back. If he's trying to get it back, it means the Gezerah should not be fulfilled. He is going to show that he's not afraid of Goliath. I said, I'm not going to be upset from Israel. He said, nobody worries about the Luchot. Which means, forget about it. He's fighting them. Fighting them, says Zari, that it means that this is so-called to repair the treaty of Abraham Avinu. And Abraham Avinu made a treaty with the Plishtim. He was afraid of Abimelech. He wanted to make peace with him. Shaul HaMelech is not afraid of Goliath. And Shaul HaMelech is the one that is going to run after Goliath and he's going to take away the Luchot. He's running back. He's not just running back to give the information or the report to Eliyahu Kohen. He wants to restore back that Mishkan that really is supposed to be destroyed again because, if we may say, lack of respect, if we may say, of Abraham Avinu, the Midrash says. He has so much respect, Shaul HaMelech, that he's not afraid of Goliath. He's a giant. Everybody's afraid of him. This is Navi is going to tell you later how much everybody is afraid of him. He was afraid of him. He's not afraid of him, he's chasing him. So Navi says, this is the power of Shaul HaMelech. He comes back to Eli, and he tells him the news. So before he even has the time to show him the Luchot, it's assuming irrelevant. You see, when he hears that his two children are dead, he figures out, oh, that's the Gzirah of Abraham Avinu. And here they come, it says, they took their hearts, it doesn't matter, Luchot, not Luchot. If they're able to take the box, and look at the box, and touch the box, and take the box back to Ashdod with them, what it means is the Gzirah is here. That's what the Navi tells you. It says, listen, this is what the story of this daughter-in-law. She's giving birth, and she hears that this one, that happened. Again, it's not just news. It says the daughter of Eli is in the same situation. When she hears the news, when she heard the news, that the husband died, the father-in-law died, and the Luchot was taken, again, it's not just information, just not that we lost the battle, or we lost just, you know, the Beit HaMikdash. It means that the Gezerah of Amavino was fulfilled. So that says, Ikavod Galakavod, it means, here it is. Again, it's not because it's just the present tense that we lost the respect. It means the continuation of the Gzirah of Abraham Avinu. It says, here it is, that my husband died. He's part of those seven tzaddikim that's supposed to die because of the treaty. The Luchot was taken. Here the Mishkan is going to be destroyed. Here the Kohen HaGadol died. The Kohen HaGadol died in the Mishkan. It's going to be destroyed. It says, this is why the Navi writes it, that she had so-called Ruach HaKodesh. She was on the same level as Eliyahu Kohen. As Shaul HaMelech, she understood what's going on, not like the rest of Israel, it's just in a sense that we lost the war. He didn't lose the war. This is the Gezerah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be fulfilled, Chas V'Shalom, and that's going to lead later to the destruction of next Mishkan, Beit HaMashiach Rabbi Aminon.